Grab a seat. You know, we've been in a series for the last couple of weeks we're calling Winning the War on Worry. And if you've tracked with us over the first couple of weeks of this series, you know that we've hit on a whole bunch of different scripture verses specifically talking about worry and anxiety and this struggle, this challenge that I think all of us face on a daily basis. And so Greg and I got together and we were talking about, you know, what might be a great way to kind of end this series. And we decided to do what we call a real talk. And we've done these in the past. We haven't done one for a while. But what this is really about today is just sitting down and having an honest conversation, a real authentic discussion around this issue of worry and anxiety. And what I wanted to begin with today is just by sharing with you that even as the pastor, I struggle with worry. I struggle with anxiety sometimes. And I hope that that is an encouragement to you. Not in the sense that it's like, oh, good, I'm glad someone else is suffering like I am, right? But in the sense that it's like, I'm not the only one, right? And even though I know it's something that I shouldn't do, that there are other people who are struggling with it. But I think the other thing that I want to encourage you with today is that might be the case, but man, there is so much power in our Heavenly Father and the power that He provides and offers to us to conquer that and really battle that on a daily basis. And so we're gonna have an honest conversation today. I've invited Greg to sit and join with me. I'm really encouraged in the conversations we've had this week over this issue and this topic. Greg brings a tremendous amount of insight into this, and he's gonna share a little bit about that here in just a moment. But really, the goal today for us is to try to answer maybe some of the questions that we weren't able to hit along the way in each of the first 3 weeks of this series. Because I think there's some questions that we have, right, about worry and anxiety specifically. And I think it's good to unpack those things. And then lastly, my hope is that we walk out of here today and that we're encouraged. We're encouraged by the fact that we have a God who conquers all, who's bigger than any of our challenges and stresses and anxieties or worries that we face on a daily basis. So I wanted to begin just by asking Greg to share a little bit just about maybe some of your personal challenges and struggles that you've faced through the years with anxiety and worry, because I think it's powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a journey and it continues to be. I would say, like, even as a child, a motivator for me was always fear. You know, like, fear was a motivator. In grade school, I was just mortified if I ever got in trouble, you know, by a teacher, because that was just, like, soul-destroying. And other kids would get in trouble. They have to write sentences on the board. I'm that old. And I was just like, how does this not destroy you? You know, and I would make myself sick with that, you know. And even in playing football in junior high, like, I made myself sick because I was just so stressed about it. And there was a lot of bullying that was happening there. But, you know, it just really devastated me, you know. And I actually developed ulcers and stuff like that as a child. And, you know, I had to go see doctors for it, and it was a mess, you know. And so I already had that fallenness, you know, that sin nature, and just the broken bodies that we all have, right? That was my thing. That's my thorn in my flesh is what I think I referred to it a lot. And so, you know, as I grew older, you know, that manifested in, you know, just the worries of life, right? We all have those, and they seem to make a bigger impact on me, you know. And so you know, the fears turn into wrestling with the worry and just kind of giving place to that. And then, as some of you may know, if you give enough room for that, it takes a toll on your body, you know, and it can really be devastating. And it got to the point where, you know, I was having panic attacks. My kids remember a couple times when I had, or once I think, that I called 911. It was many years ago, but, you know, just, you know, a couple months ago, it came back again. And so we'll get into that more. But yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge. But as I grow closer to the Lord, I lean into Him harder and harder. And 100% of the time, He always shows up, you know, in that fight, never without fail. You know, He would give me peace. I'd give it to Him. But it took me a while to get there. It took me a while to get there. And we'll talk about that too. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, you know, everybody kind of has their own challenges and the way anxiety and worry kind of hits them, right? And so for me, I can honestly say, and I think I might have mentioned this in one of the messages, I don't think I've ever had like a full-on panic attack or, right? Yeah, so Greg says you would know, right? Yeah, I haven't, right? But for me, how worry and anxiety often manifests in my life is that I reach for control. And maybe there's some of you out there that feel like this as well. But when I start to feel anxious, when I start to feel worried, I reach for ways to control my environment and control whatever that thing is, whatever that trigger is that's causing me to feel that worry or anxiety. You know, and so again, I think I might have mentioned this before, but like I'll clean, right? Because it helps take my mind off of it, and it helps me kind of but what happens is there's negative impacts of that, because I become so controlling that worry and that anxiety actually leads to other issues and other problems, right? We're going to talk about that as well in a moment. But I think the biggest thing I wanted you guys to hear as we started was, like, here's two guys who get up here and preach on a regular basis, who are in the Word of God on a regular basis, and who God is helping, but who we still face those struggles and those challenges. And I hope that that's, again, I hope that that's an encouragement to you. We don't have it all together. We certainly have not perfected our walk with Christ. We are growing and learning daily. But the point is, we're learning and we're growing, right? And so here's a couple questions that we want to dig into today. And I think this is probably a big one for a lot of people, because in the very first week, we talked about this idea that worry is a sin. And for a lot of people, that's kind of like, whoa, what do you mean worry is a sin? Like, isn't that something that is not really controllable? And so I want to dig into that question for a second, right? Why is worry a sin? And really, at the end of the day, what makes worry a sin is, it's very simple. It's because it's choosing not to trust in God, right? At the end of the day, when we choose not to trust, what we're saying is, yeah, you know, you might be my heavenly Father. You might have the whole world in the palm of your hands and have everything under control, but I don't really believe that. Like, I'm going to reach for control of my situation. I'm not going to trust that you have everything on lockdown, right? And so that is the sin of worry. And I'm going to ask Greg to talk about this a little bit, because he used this phrase, it's an on-ramp to a lot of other sins. And I want to just ask you to kind of elaborate on that. Like, it leads to other things, sure, right? Worry isn't just about the sin of worry.
No.
Right?
No, not at all. I mean, if you think about it, worry is that on-ramp or that motivator, that spark that starts a lot of fires, if you think about it. You know, poor decisions, you know, not listening to wisdom, you know, greed is another one, you know.
Cheating.
Cheating, like, right? Yeah, exactly.
Or lying, right?
Kids, right? I mean,
I lie because I'm worried that I'm going to get in trouble,
exactly,
for this thing, right? So it's not just about the worry, right? And our Heavenly Father knows that,
right?
Right? He does not want that to lead to other things, mm-hmm, as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah. And I think if we start to look at it that way, like, okay, this is a tool that the enemy uses, and how do we reconcile worry and sin? And I know, like, in our men's group, we had a really good discussion about, let's talk more about this, you know, like, let's really define, you know, how does worry play into, where is it sin, where is it not, you know? And so, you know, that's kind, yeah, of where we're heading, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So another question that maybe you've had as we've gone throughout this series is there a difference between worry and anxiety, and are all anxieties sin? Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge question that a lot of people have. And again, I'm going to let Greg maybe just elaborate on this a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I think what really helped me to define this is, again, just forcing myself to look at this as sin. How does sin work? Any other sin, right? And so to have, you know, a fear or a concern is fine. You know, like if you're concerned for the safety of your child, for example, you know, I worry, I would say, about that a lot when they're first driving and things like that. Not that any of my kids hit things or whatever, but, you know, it happens to other people.
or even, like, I was thinking about, like, if you're in the woods hiking and all of a sudden a mountain lion comes, yeah, out of nowhere, like, that's a healthy fear that God has put in us,
right?
To go, okay, yes, I trust in God, but I'm not going to just walk up to it and, you know, give it a hug, right? Like right. there is such a thing as like a healthy fear that God puts in us for our own right. safety and for our own
right.
good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just when you mentioned the word choosing, when there's a choice, right? There's a line where, you know, when we realize that worry or that concern, that we just give it to God. You know, like I shared a while ago, a couple years ago, when I lost my job, that was a big learning experience because I was mortified, had the normal, response of fear and all that. But then, you know, I knew to give it to God. I knew it wasn't healthy for me to hold on to that, and I just trusted Him, and He just miraculously gave me this peace that was just amazing. And on a daily, He does that, you know. And so, but if I would have chosen to, no, I'm going to worry about this. I know God, Your Word says this. I see all these scriptures, but I mean, if you really are honest with yourselves. You know, that choice is, I don't really believe that. I don't believe that God's going to do that for me. And then you choose to hold on to it. You choose to control it. And like, no, I'm going to sort this out by worrying because that's going to add a day to my life, you know. And, and I'm going to get results by that. And that's, for me, that's where the sin happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not trusting God. I'm not believing in the promises of His Word that He is who He is. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And I'm going to take it to myself. For me, that's the line of where sin is.
Yeah.
You know, and then the consequence of that, and we'll get into it more, is that anxiety, you know, and the detriment to our minds and our bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you talked about, you know, just that healthy fear, mm-hmm. right? That's a good thing. I would not classify that as a sin, right? Right? That's a good thing. I think the other one that we have to unpack a little bit is, so we've talked about, you know, choosing, and that's clearly that is sin.
Yep.
And whether we like it or not, when we are choosing not to trust. But there's another category I think that this can fall into, and that is kind of that clinical, general anxiety disorder, right. where it's not anything specific where you're feeling anxious. And there is, you know, there is a connection between our physical body yep. and our spiritual body. Yep. And whether we realize it or not, in the fall, that didn't just affect our spirit, it affected everything in nature, exactly. right? It affected our body. And we see this in thousands of different ways, right? Our bodies are constantly battling sicknesses, yep. illnesses, diseases, right? So there are things that are going on clinically mm-hmm. in our bodies. And so, again, I just maybe share a little bit about just your experience with that
yeah.
and you know, whether or not, is that a sin?
Well, and I had to wrestle with this as well. And I just want to share a scripture with you, Psalm 73:26. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength of my heart and the portion and my portion forever. And, you know, one thing that I had to realize, there's plenty of scriptures that make that distinction between, you know, our physical and our spiritual, right? And the world looks at medication as the entire solution. And as followers of Christ, that's wrong. I mean, it is. Medication is not the entire solution. It's part of it. It can be part of it, you know, if we wear glasses, right? I mean, that's correction. That's something that we need medically. You know, if you take an aspirin for a headache, you know, I mean, we use medicine all the day long, right? But I think the confusion with medication to help with anxiety or depression, we kind of get confused, like, wait a minute, isn't that a spiritual thing? You know, but it's a physical thing like anything else. But as followers of Christ, we can't look at that as our entire solution. Like, I'm going to take this pill. Thanks, God. I'm out. You know, and I'm not going to come to You anymore. You know, the Word of God, our relationship with the Lord is and has to be our entire solution spiritually. But God, you know, blesses mm-hmm. us and gifts us medicine, you know, to help us with all that. And so just wanted to share that. That's, you know, the perspective that I've had to take and, you know, and kind of search it out and check in my soul, like, you know, am I good with this? And,
yeah.
you know, and got peace, you know, and some good counsel along the way with that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the key there is, you know, it always comes back to, okay, is this something that I'm choosing? Or is this something that, like, there's a chemical thing going on inside of me or inside of someone
right.
else? And so I think, you know, to say that all anxiety falls under that category of sin, that just doesn't seem right to me. Based on the Word of God, based on, you know, the scriptures that talk about worry and anxiety, that's when you're choosing it, right? That's when it's
right.
that's when it's that sin. Mm-hmm. But there are people, I believe this fully, who there's something going on, just like somebody might have another medical issue where there's an issue, and that medication can help normalize so that they can begin to actually even have the clarity and the function in their brain and, the you know, remove some of that cloudiness and some of that overwhelming feeling to begin to actually then work on the worry and the anxiety that is sin. And I hope that makes sense. And so the bottom line is this, is like I would classify, you know, worry that's a sin as the worry that we actually are choosing. That's when we're choosing not to trust. But there are certain anxieties that aren't. And I hope that that's both encouraging and challenging to you today, right? Because we have to discern that. We've got to take everything to the Word of God and discern, okay, is this something that I'm really in control of, and take ownership of that? Because for me, like what I don't ever want to do is downplay my own sin, right? Like I don't want to downplay the fact that, okay, this actually is me. This one's on me. I have to stop doing this because it's sin and it's detrimental to me versus, okay, this is something that's clinical. Again, I hope that's helpful. Yeah, I think that's a big question for a lot of people. So ultimately, and this is something we didn't even get a chance to really get into through the first three weeks, but this is a spiritual battle. There is spiritual warfare going on in the unseen that we don't even see. And this is one of Satan's biggest temptations to us, is to worry about different things, right? I want to read a verse to you from 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Right? And so my encouragement to you today is this. A, recognize that there is a spiritual battle going on. That you are being tempted to worry about things that you shouldn't worry about on a daily basis. But the good news is that our Heavenly Father provides a way out of that. He provides an escape from that. And I think there's a difference between having a moment where you start to worry about something and then you say, no, I believe in the promises and I trust in the promises of my Heavenly Father and I'm not gonna worry about this thing. And there's a difference between that and going down a road, allowing yourself to start to travel down the path of worry and anxiety. And you all know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, okay, I have this moment where, whew, I kind of want to worry about this. And there's that moment where you either say yes or no. And then there's that moment where you just kind of allow yourself to be dragged away down that path of worry. And there's a difference, and you know, maybe you want to elaborate on this a little bit, but there's a difference between, you know, being tempted by something and actually giving in to that temptation. Right. And I think the same is true with worry.
100%. And I think last year we had a message on temptation. And, you know, I love this scripture. You know, the second promise in this passage says that God will provide a way out. So when it comes to worry, we have to train ourselves to look for what is that way out. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Last time I spoke, which was just, 3 weeks ago, you know, I told Justin this, you know, we were praying in the morning, you know, we're getting ready to go. And I could feel like this panic attack coming. Like, this never happens to me. You know, I do this all the time. Well, I mean, enough, but, why is this happening? You know? And I just felt like, I gave it to God right away. And I clearly, you know, I felt like God was saying, just walk away and go talk to people, you know? And I did, I didn't sit down and like wrestle with it. I just, you know, threw it out of my head, went back and talked to some folks here, and it disappeared, you know, because it was this, you know, distraction. It was encouraging. I'm sure those conversations were great, you know, and it took care of it, you know. And so when it comes to worry, we have to look for what is that way out. When it looks for, you know, any sin, what is that way out that we're promised? What is my way out when I'm tempted to worry? And, you know, it's sometimes get out, go for a walk, you know, get on your knees, obviously, give it to the Lord, and then move on, you know, and fight that spiritual warfare, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, another verse that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians 10:5. When Satan comes at us with his lies, we need the truth. That's the only thing that combats that lie, right?
Right.
And so this is what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. We demolish arguments and every pretension that mm-hmm. sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, I love that, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And so when those lies come, oh, you should worry about this. You should be anxious about this. No, I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm going to take it to the Word of God. And I'm going to say, no, this is the truth about what my Heavenly Father says about who
that's
I am and His
battles.
Promises. Exactly. This is how we fight our battles.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yep.
So one of the biggest reasons that I think a lot of us worry, and I think this is a big one for me, is that we don't see external stress. And we all have external stresses being put on us every day. Maybe it's from our job, maybe it's something personal, maybe it's a health issue that we're going through, but we don't see those stresses as an opportunity for growth. And I love what James 1, 2 through 4 says. I want to encourage you with this today. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Right, when we begin to have that perspective that, okay, the trials, the stresses, the things that I kind of want to be anxious about, I want to worry about, that those are actually going to be used by God to grow us and strengthen us and increase our faith in him, for me, that helps big time. Yeah. That helps change my perspective on that situation to go, okay, yeah, the situation might not have gone away, but I know God is doing something with this. So I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to trust that he's actually doing something good with it. I think about an athlete who is working out, you know, making an effort to obtain a certain level of fitness, reaching a goal for their sports team, whatever it is, right? You're going through a level of difficult pain in that training. But at the end of it, you know there's going to be a good outcome that comes out of that work and that effort, right? It's the same thing when we are going through a situation where we want to worry or be anxious. We can look at that moment and be worried or anxious about the future, or we can trust that God's going to take care of it, right? And that's a very different perspective. And so I think, you know, stress, if you can look at stress, this is, again, my encouragement to you. If you can begin to look at the stress in your life as a way that God is building you and growing you, mm-hmm. it changes the level of worry and anxiety that you have about that thing. So a couple of things here, and we're gonna close. So some of the big things we wanted to talk about that a lot of us struggle with from a worry and anxiety perspective. In our culture, what are some of those things, right? So I already talked about one of these, and this is a big one for me, and I'm guessing it is for some of you. The need to control things, right? And I just wanna give you a verse to just kind of marinate on. I encourage you to be writing these down. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. If you have that need to control and the anxiety and worry in your life is leading you towards that, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I love that. In him all things are held together. He is what holds us together. He is the one who is in control ultimately, who spoke the world into existence, who has promised us salvation and eternity through the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? When we cling to those things, it makes me not have to need to be in control because I'm releasing that control to my Heavenly Father. How about this one? Lack of contentment. I'll let Greg read this one.
Yeah, this is Philippians 4, 10 through 13. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Verse 12 here. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living, plenty, or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." So it's funny that verse 13 is the one we see on Instagram and Facebook all the time. But, you know, these verses that come before it, you know, give that right context that, you know, here we're reading that, you know, this secret of being content. And I think when you hear that, "Oh, I want that, please. Can I have that? Can I tell me what your secret is?" But you can tell that he's defining it for us. I know what it is to have it and not. But you can just read and tell this full surrender, knowing that God is in control. And, you know, for me, it helped me to understand that and deposit that in my mind and in my soul and really start trusting it. The more I was in the Word, the more that I was leaning into God and spending true time with him and meditating, memorizing those scriptures like you were saying last week, you know, that helped. You know, when I got to know him more, I got to trust him more, and that contentment comes there. So
Yeah, I think lack of contentment is a huge cause of a lot of our worry and anxiety, right? Because we're thinking about the future. Well, what if? What if I don't have this? What if this is this thing that I really want? What if I don't get that, right? And what Paul is saying, he's sitting in a jail cell here. He's saying, I've learned the secret to contentment in every situation, whether I have a lot because he did. At one point, he had a lot. He was wealthy. He was educated. Or whether I have a little, right? He's writing this from a prison cell. He has got nothing. He's literally shackled in a jail cell. He's like, I learned the secret to contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have God, which means I have everything that I need, and he will provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory, right? And so, you know, again, just an encouragement to you as you work through. Maybe that's a reason. If you search your heart, I know it is for me. Lack of contentment might be one of the reasons that you're facing worry and anxiety. That's a verse to go to on a regular basis. How about just fear about our health? This is a huge one. Particularly in the day and age that we're living in right now with COVID and all of the you know, just so many health issues that people are dealing with. How about Revelation 21:4? I love this. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What an amazing promise that is, that though our bodies might be failing in this life, we get to receive a new body. That's what Revelation tells us. That's what the Word of God tells us. We receive heaven when we put our faith and our trust in him. This amazing gift is given to us in return. And so there's no reason to fear about our health. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, as we go through this life, there are difficulties with our bodies, right? But this life is just a blip on the radar, and eternity is forever. And so take hold of that promise. And then finally, how about fear for our kids? How applicable is this on Mother's Day weekend, right? A lot of us, I know I do. I have fears and anxieties about my children. And I want them to, number one, follow Christ more than anything. And I want them to grow up to be, you know, productive, healthy, successful citizens of society, right? And we can dwell on that. Proverbs 22:6, what a great reminder. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. My responsibility, this is the reminder to me. My responsibility as a parent is that not to try to control everything, but to lead my children to follow Jesus and trust that he is going to do the work in his life that only he can do. That's my job. That's my responsibility. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about the outcome of how they're going to turn out. At the end of the day, it's up to you, but it's not up to you. And again, I hope that maybe encourages somebody today. So I want to jump down to just kind of closing out here. Mm-hmm. If you could encourage folks with just one kind of golden nugget piece of, you know, advice for everybody listening today, what would it be?
Can I give two?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You can give two.
So scripture-based, because we got to go to the Word, right? 100% all the time. So write this down. 1 Peter 5:7, I think number one, we just got to give it to God. When you look at, you know, fears you may have or worries, remember, you know, look at it as there's a temptation here. I mean, I have a choice. Do I want to wrestle with this, try to be in control? Do I want to try to achieve something on my own? Or am I just going to trust the Lord, read his promises in his word, and give it up to him? So give it to God is my first one. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. I have this scripture taped to my work desk. It's right in front of my face. And I read that every single day, all mm-hmm. the time. And number two, trust him. Like we've been talking about, look at it that way. If you catch yourself caught up in worry, you're not trusting. I've got this little ceramic little thing that my grandma had on her wall, and I took it when she passed away, have it on my work desk, and it says, if we worry, we don't trust. And it's really one or the other. You know, and so Proverbs 3:5-6, we've heard this one, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Hmm. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So true, so true, so true. So trust him, you know, give it to him. Those are my two pieces of advice. Yeah. Works.
Yeah. I hope, guys, this was my hope in this series as we worked our way through each one of these weeks, is that you would walk out of here not only with some new information and some new knowledge and understanding the Word of God and what he says about this issue, but that you would walk out of here encouraged. And I know sometimes it can be really, really difficult, right? When we're hearing someone talk about worry and anxiety, and we know we're dealing with it, and we know there are certain things we got to work on, and we're feeling defeated. My prayer for you and my hope for this community is that you would walk out of here in victory, because he has given us the victory in this. He has. And all we need to do is, as you said, lean into that, trust him, that he's got it. He's got it. He's in control. And I know, because I struggle with it too. It's easier said than done. But that's my prayer for you. That's my hope for you, as a community, as a church, that we would just go out of here encouraged, by the fact that we have a God who walks with us through our worries, through our anxieties, and really does want us to trust him, because he cares for us, right? It's cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And if you don't know that, I mean, that's the start. Above all else, he does care for you. He loves you, even though you might face some really difficult days. So hope you guys have enjoyed this series. It has been an encouragement to me. Yep, me too. Every week as I've prepared even the messages, God has been speaking to me and encouraging my heart. It's been encouraging to speak to some of you in our small group times, as we've gone throughout the series, just hearing how it's been impacting you. I know that it's been an impactful series in a lot of ways. And so we celebrate today all that God can and is going to continue to do in our lives as we win the war on worry. Amen?